We're going to be starting chapter 5 of 1 Peter, and we're kind of coming to a close to this letter. I'm not sure, maybe there's two messages left. Next week we have Cal, will be preaching next week, and I get to sit and enjoy. But today we are looking at leaders, and I think it's funny, we have both Ed and Cal, and I guess maybe those are the two elders. They're gone today, so I'm going to be speaking about them a little bit. Well, not so much them specifically, but we are looking at leaders of the church. So I'll begin with a question. What is a leader, or what is a good leader? And I don't know if you've really thought about that. Maybe a number of you have a really good answer to it. I ended up finding an article in the Forbes magazine. I wanted to share a quote with you on what I found. A great leader possesses a clear vision, is courageous, has integrity, honesty, humility, and clear focus. Great leaders help people reach their goals, are not afraid to hire people that might be better than them, and take pride in the accomplishments of those they help along the way. Now, that's probably one of several definitions of a good business leader. And though I agree with that definition as far as a business leader, I cannot help but think of, you know, just leader in general. When I think of a good leader, I think of someone that I would be willing to follow no matter what. Someone that I would be willing to follow into even hardships. You know, for an example, if in the military, a military setting, a good leader is one that I would say is the one who runs up the hill in battle with their men who are ready and willing to follow that leader into anywhere. Not because they were ordered to, but they're willing to follow that leader who's going up there with them. So when I think of leadership in the Bible, I kind of have that thought as a leader is someone that people are willing to follow. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 is where I'd like to start reading first. Many of you know this passage fairly well. Matthew 4:18-22. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. We have two examples right here in this passage of two sets of brothers. They're dropping everything, venturing into an unknown future, leaving behind all they knew and the security of their fishing, that was their means of support. They left all that to follow a man that they knew was special. It wasn't that these men hadn't heard of Jesus or hadn't heard him speak before, because they had. But they were called, and they followed, and Jesus led them. And Jesus led eight others who we know are called the apostles. They followed, they learned, and they too became leaders. Simon, the one called Peter, he wasn't perfect. He was a little hot-headed, and he really didn't have a great filter when it came to things that he said. Things just kind of came out of his mouth, and then he thought about them. That was Peter. Peter made mistakes. You know, Peter made some pretty significant mistakes too, but he didn't stop. He became what we would probably say he became a pillar in the church, in the beginning of the church. Another example is the Apostle Paul. And I want to read 1 Corinthians 11:1 of something that the Apostle Paul wrote. "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. I praise you for remembering me in everything and for holding to the teachings just as I pass them on to you." See, the Apostle Paul, who wrote a good portion of the New Testament, he called others to follow him as he follows Christ. Leading is being an example to follow. Leading is being an example to follow. The ultimate goal is to be like Christ. Yet sometimes it is hard to fully understand what that looks like without seeing an example. And that's what Paul was saying here. See, Paul didn't want a bunch of little Pauls. See, the Apostle Paul, he didn't want just a bunch of, kind of the little mini-me's of himself. That's not what he wanted. He wanted to be an example to get others started in following Christ. That was his goal, that they would reflect Christ. Paul just had a hand in getting them started by being the example that he portrayed and by what he taught, but the Holy Spirit is the one who did the real bulk of the work. It's something that I see over and over is this: a great leader desires for those he is leading to one day rise up and be leaders themselves. I hope that there will be more leaders and pastors that come out of Christ Community Church. I do. You know, we've already seen numbers going to different places to be missionaries, and I know there's a number of youth and others that are feeling God's call and his urging for them to take on that mantle, be leaders in the church. I hope they're 10 times better than anything I can imagine. And if that were true, if we see those leaders come up and flow out of here and out of other places, if that happens, the kingdom of heaven and Jesus Christ are the ones to benefit and gain. And as we go to our passage found in 1 Peter, we have to remember that Peter, the author of this letter, he began as a fisherman called by Jesus. Now Peter is the one writing as a leader, speaking to the leaders of the church. So let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1, and that's where I'll begin. 1 Peter chapter 5, starting with verse 1. "To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of the God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock." Peter's addressing to the elders among you. He's addressing the leaders in the home churches. And in the New Testament church, we often see elder as being the typical leadership role. They were the ones responsible for the congregation. And I thought about taking time to discuss the elder role, but it kind of took away from what I felt the message needed to be about. So I'm going to leave that for a different day on giving some broader definitions of elder, but we're just going to say they were leaders in the church. It's interesting that Peter appeals to the elders by identifying himself as an elder as well. It is true that Peter was an elder, but he was also an apostle. See, one of the things here is Peter could say, this is what you need to do because I'm an apostle. But he's not pulling rank. He's saying, hey, I know I can identify with you guys because I understand what it is to lead. And so Peter is appealing to the elders as a fellow elder himself. He knows the hardships and the trials of leading in hard times. Peter knows what that's like. But something he points out is that they have three things in common. They are elders. They are all witnesses of Christ's suffering, Christ and His sufferings. And they all share in God's future glory at the coming of Christ. So what is Peter doing here? So when I'm looking at this, I'm like, what is Peter doing? Why is he sharing all this? And he's really connecting with the leaders. He's connecting with them personally. He's about to make an appeal to one leader, from one leader to another. His appeal is for them to do the work that God has called them to do. Peter knows what is needed to be an elder. He knows what it is to what is needed to be a leader in the church. And he knows the temptations, and he also knows the joys that come from serving the Lord. Yet it seems that the elders who Peter's writing to, they need a reminder of their calling, a reminder of their responsibilities. So one of the first things he says, be shepherds of God's flock that are under your care. There's several things here. Shepherding was a common thing in that time and culture. It was understood what was meant to shepherd because they knew what it was to be a shepherd. A shepherd watched over a flock of animals. The shepherd brought the flocks to where they would graze for food. What was the best food? They brought them to where they could get water. And the shepherd protected the flock from dangers. He watched over them, making sure they were safe. The shepherd, again, watched for those dangers, and he cared for each animal in the flock. He knew the animals. He knew the personalities. You know, sometimes animals have different personalities. Yeah. I think it was funny. I was talking with Trent, was it maybe even yesterday or 2 days ago. He could tell me, you know, almost any number of his cows, he knew. I don't know how many cows you've got. Now, that wasn't the topic of what we're talking about, but it was interesting that, okay, this is something he does every day. He knows what's going on with one cow, what's not going on with another one, if there's problems. That's what a shepherd did every day. They were with the flock. The shepherd knew all the different things, the needs and personalities. The shepherd cared deeply for the flock. And you know what? The flock knew the shepherd. There's a lot in being a shepherd. Was Peter noticing a problem with the elders and what they were doing, and this is why he's saying this? I don't know. But we know that as a fellow shepherd, Peter feels it's important to remind the leaders what they're to be doing. He's reminding the leaders what they need to be doing. Be the shepherd. Be the one who cares for the flock. The interesting thing that Peter points out is whom the flock belongs to. I like how it's written. I do. Whose flock is this? Is it the shepherd's? It's God's flock. That's like the church. The flock doesn't belong to a particular church building. Flock doesn't belong to a particular leader of the church. The flock is the Lord's. The shepherd or the elder or the leader is in a position of a caretaker, but not the owner. This is something that has really helped me as a pastor. See, Christ Community Church is not my church. It's not the deacon elder board's church. It's not the full board's church. However you want to say it. Whose church is this? It's the Lord's. It's the Lord's. It's helped me because sometimes, you know, there is a responsibility. But at the same time, I know, God, this is your church. I'll do whatever you want me to do in serving him. But this is his church. This group of believers has been placed in the care of its leaders. But ultimately, we belong to the Lord. Yet it's interesting what Peter is saying, that if you are a leader, then do it. Lead. Care for and shepherd those under your care. Oversee the day-to-day things. Oversee the needs that needs are met. And each person under your care has been tended to. You know, life can get busy. Yes, it can get hard at times. We can get distracted. There can be conflicts and differences. But leaders are to lead and not make excuses. Yeah, Peter's definitely talking to me in this passage, if you can't tell. Peter's appealing to the leaders to lead, not because they must, but because they're willing to. What's the difference between must do and willing to do? You know, in the springtime, when the snow melts and you've been stuck inside for months, and you get a nice day and you see the grass is getting a little long, you know, maybe a couple inches, and you're thinking, this would be a great day to go mow the lawn. Just get outside, enjoy the sunshine, mow the lawn. Then fall hits. You've got 10 things on your to-do list, and you put off mowing the lawn for a couple weeks already, and it's a foot high, and you're trying to think about how you're going to bale it, and you just don't want to go out and mow because you've already done it a million times over the summer. There's a difference between spring and fall. There's a difference between willing to and wanting to versus having to do it. And the difference is in our attitude. The difference is in the attitude. What is the and we have verses that are talking about here that to lead willingly. The attitude in which we do things can be tough for leaders. I can be the one who will stand up here and say that there are times that I have failed in my attitude. Yes, there are many times in life that we have to do things because they have to get done. And if we have to do them or we're obligated, then we're going to be reluctant to do them. Then we're not going to have the good attitude. We're not going to put in the full effort. We're going to drag our feet. We're going to procrastinate. And we're going to complain. That isn't what Peter wants to see in his leaders. Because he knows the leaders are the ones that people will follow as an example. Leaders should lead with willing hearts as God wants them to. Willing and wanting to do the Lord's will. Peter goes on to say that leaders should not be greedy, looking for financial gains, but instead be eager to serve. Financial gains is what Peter has listed here, but I think that it would apply to any selfish gains. And we know that there are some not so good leaders out there that are just wanting to get their name out there, to make their name great, or to earn a title, or to gain some sort of status. Anything that raises or feeds into that selfishness. Peter's not saying that churches shouldn't support the leaders financially. Thank you. He is saying, leaders, you're not serving the Lord for your own gain, but you're serving the Lord for His gains, for the gains in His kingdom. Peter has told the leaders to shepherd willingly. He's told them to serve without selfish gains. And kind of the third thing that he points out is that they shouldn't lord over the people, but instead be the example to follow. Well, what does it mean to lord over? To be the authoritarian, to be the dictator. You must do it my way or face my wrath. That's to lord it over. The Pharisees and the religious leaders at the time of Jesus, they were good at making all sorts of regulations and laws that were hard for everyday people to keep. Those regulations did little for allowing people to grow in their faith. Such lording over is full of shaming and judgment and manipulation. That isn't kingdom living or kingdom building, and that's not shepherding or serving. You see, there is a call to live and be the example for others to follow. To be real. See, life isn't always easy, and people will follow those leaders who are real. Those that put on a show or those who are fake, those are the ones that people will get a sour taste for. Those are the ones that bring a bad name to the church. And ultimately, they lose the gospel witness too. As I've been going through these statements by Peter, many of you might be thinking, yeah, this is good for our church leaders and elders and deacons. I hope they're listening, but this doesn't apply to me. That might be what some of you are thinking. This really doesn't apply to me. But I have to say that in my opinion, I believe this can be applied to everyone. You might not hold a position of elder, but most of you hold positions of influence in all that you do. Okay, you are called to serve. As a Christ follower, you are called to serve Jesus. So do it with a willing and eager heart, with that attitude. You might hold another office in the church. You might be a teacher. You might be a small group leader. You might serve on the board in different ways. You might be on a committee or a worker in other areas or in other ministries. Anything that you might be doing to help in a ministry, do your best with a willing and eager heart. I'm not saying that any of you are not doing that. And I thank you all for all that you do. But I think this is a way that it can be applied. To do our best with willing and eager hearts. And if you're not serving somewhere in the church, maybe it might be time to find some place to serve. But even if that's not the case, are you a parent? Are you a grandparent? You have a place of influence. Be the example. Don't have the attitude, do as I say, not as I do. I think we've all heard that. Do as I say, not as I do. That doesn't work. Because we're going to be the example. What about the workplace? Lead and be an example in your workplace. We can all lead in some way. Teens, you have friends, there's youth group, and many of you have younger siblings. Be the example for them. Anyone here listening, if you're in a place that people or family look to you, then lead, serve, and be the example, all to the glory of God. I could probably end with my message right there. But I have a couple more verses that I want to cover. So let's read on. We're going to look at verse 4 of chapter 5. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. This is another picture that we can take away. The chief shepherd is Jesus. And Peter is referring to the moment that we come face to face with our chief shepherd, Jesus Christ. Maybe it's when we die that we come face to face. Maybe it's when Jesus returns at his second coming. Either way, we want to be ready at any time. And we want him to find us being good and faithful in our service to him. Yeah, we might have hardships now, but there is a crown of glory awaiting his faithful servants. Let's read on in verse 5. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. See, Peter has been talking to the leaders first, and now he seems to have made a little change in course, and he's now talking to those who are following. And I realize this says young men, but in the Greek language, this could be understood one of two ways. It could be young men as in a specific group that Peter's talking to that were young men, or he's saying a general young men and women in general. Most believe that he was talking in general terms for all younger men and women. The attitude we have toward our leaders in church is important. We realize that God is a God of order, and the leaders in charge have a responsibility to the church in overseeing its care. You see, I was once younger, in my late teens and 20s, and I thought I had life figured out. I was kind of invincible. And anything I really needed to know by my mid-20s, I thought, you know what? I've got it figured out. Then came to my later 20s and 30s, and then I realized I've come to my senses. And then by my 40s, I realized how much I still have yet to learn. What I mean by this is we have to be careful when we're younger and we think we have everything figured out. That God puts leaders and godly men and women in our paths to help us understand sometimes the things that we don't have figured out. That we shouldn't just shrug off correction or advice. Sometimes it's easy to do what we think is right instead of listening to the wise counsel of others. Sometimes pride can cause us to stumble and we become bigger problems for the church because of our lack of wisdom. See, pride can tear apart a church because it's all about me, my wants, my opinions, my way. And we are to respect and be in a place of submission of those who are wiser, more mature, who've been placed in leadership roles over us. We are to respect that. The way this is written should be understood that older often reflected wiser. It's a generality. And I think we know and that we have discernment in knowing that sometimes it can be flipped. Sometimes younger are the wiser and the older are still learning. Sometimes that happens. But our desire is to grow in Christ, to learn from those who are mature and who are in leadership over us. Humility is something that doesn't just come. Humility is something that you have to put on and practice. Otherwise, pride will be right there to take its place. So as followers, let us put on humility and respect the leadership the Lord has put over us. And let us also look to serve in any way we can.